brilliant to be here. 2 years, isn't that incredible? Come on, isn't that incredible? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Absolutely. Thanks, Errol. And I really believe that the best is yet to come. You know, Northern Ireland needs churches like this, doesn't it? Being here, you guys know this better than we do. But this nation is blessed in many ways, but it has so much religion. And so many people, especially of the generation represented here, have rejected Jesus when they've never really seen Jesus. They've just seen religion. They've seen form without power. And I just believe in the months and years to come, God wants to raise up all over this nation just fresh expressions of Christianity. Hallelujah. People just in love with Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I'm joyed to be here this morning. Can I just follow the Holy Spirit? Is that okay? Great. So before we open our Bible, can we just worship Him for one moment longer? Lord, we just bless you. We love you. Holy Spirit, we thank you you're here with us this day. We just love to be with you. We're like little kids on Christmas morning to be in church. Wow. And Lord, just fill this place, flood this place with your glory. And Lord, I ask this morning, and I ask with faith that not one person who doesn't know you walks out of this building without knowing you. Lord, I just thank you. Just bring anybody who knows you but's wandered far from you back close to your heart, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that you'll heal people all over this room. Touch, heal, set free. And we thank you, Jesus. So I know we pray for people normally at the end, but let me ask you a question. Anybody who needs healing of anything, just stand up on your feet right now. Come on, all over the room. Anybody in any pain, any discomfort? There's quite a few more, I believe. It's free. Come on, you're shy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, stand up if you have anything. There's a person here, we won't lay hands on you, but with a urinal tract infection, and you've been in some pain, and Jesus wants to heal you right now. There's somebody with a lump in your upper chest area that he wants to dissolve right now. Come on, God, this stuff's real. God's here. And he loves to touch us. Amen. Anybody else need to stand up? Right. Everybody else stand up and put your hand on the people who are already standing. Come on, because God wants to use us all to heal the sick. Yeah? Hallelujah. How do we heal the sick? We don't pray great, big, fancy, clever prayers. The real goal is to get out of the way and let Jesus be himself. He's in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, Lord, would you just flow your presence through every one of us into these, our beloved ones right now. We just believe that you're risen with healing in your wings, that your anointing flows right now into every body all over the room. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we just believe you're healing people right now, big things, little things. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I take authority over every sickness and every disease in this room, and I break it right now in Jesus' name. I command every pain, any afflicting thing that would touch your people right now, to go in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I speak your word to bodies all over this room right now and say, be healed. Be healed, be healed, be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Be healed in Jesus' name. And Lord, right, whether you feel anything or not, let's just thank him by faith right now. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give you the glory. You're the healer. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. To you be the glory, Lord. Amen, in Jesus' name. Wonderful. You may be seated in heavenly places. Good. One more thing the Lord wanted me to do as well here. Where are my glasses? I'm losing them. Thank you, Lord. Actually, I had a word for you, Daryl. Is that okay if I give that? And as for Nikki, is she downstairs, is she? But that's okay. I just felt the Lord saying to you that you guys, it's like you've been operating as parents here. But I just feel the Lord says there's a shift coming where you're going to be the grandparents. And that more and more, you're not, it's like I feel the Lord saying, you're not really called to be pastors. You're apostolic. You're called to raise up pastors. And I feel the Lord saying, God's building a prototype in this place. God loves to build models. Israel was like a prototype nation, if you will. God loves forerunners. He'll send a Joseph on a journey so that his brethren can follow him behind on that journey. And I just believe the Lord says everything he's been doing here, everything he's been teaching you guys, it's like this has been your Bible school in a way. This has been your training ground. Every single thing is for this place, but it's also to reproduce. Doesn't have to be the vibe, Belfast vibe, but it's God's. I just believe you're going to plant and plant and plant and plant and plant, and that you guys are fathers in the land. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I wanted to pray for, I don't even know your name, but my friend here. What's your name, mate? Shane. Can you stand up? Thank you, Lord. I during worship, I saw a picture of you, Shane, with it was like an old battered suitcase. And I just saw God filling this suitcase, and then I saw him sending you on faraway journeys. And I just believe you have a call of God on your life. You have a call to be a carrier. You have a call to be a courier. And you're going to take things into countries that think those things should be illegal. Yeah. You're going to carry the Most High into far off places. No, I haven't. I just feel the Lord says, God's going to take you. You know, and during your life, I feel he's going to take you all over the world. And he's going to give you like stickers from the different places you've been. You're going to carry cold water to far away, thirsty people in deserts. And you're going to plant. You're going to just, at times God will send you to places and it's only to touch one person. And at times you'll see a multitude. And I just believe the Lord says, the call of God is on your life. The call of God is strong on your life. And I feel the Lord saying, God's got you in a, it's like God's going to be tough on you, more tough on you than he is on your friends. And at times you're going to look around saying, God, cut me some slack. You know, God, just, why can't you bless me like you're blessing others? At times, I see a picture of you with a muzzle on, like a dog, like a Rottweiler kind of thing. And it's like God's disciplining your mouth because he wants to use your mouth as a tool in the kingdom of God. And I feel the Lord saying, the lessons that you learn now, you won't have to learn in 10 years, in 50 years, in 20 years. And God's got you in his boot camp right now. And it's like Sergeant Major Dusty will be shouting at 3 a.m., get up and run and put your nose in the Bible and learn some of these things. And at times he'll not critique in a bad way, but get on your case because he's forming you and shaping you. And I just believe the Lord says, embrace the season. Don't just go be sent, but you will be sent because you're a sent one in the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord, for Shane. We bless him in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I had a word for you guys as well. Sorry. You two are together, is that? I want to create some. You didn't know. I'm really glad about that. I saw the Lord come in and giving you a his and a her telephone. It's like God gave you two brand new telephones, and they were like, one was blue and one pink, probably pink. And I feel, whenever God shows me a telephone, it's the call. And I just feel the Lord says, you guys have a joint call on your life. It's not your call, and you get to help him, or vice versa. God's got a call on your life. And I believe, I just hear the word Joshua as well. I believe even in this place, God's got like both of you, like Joshua's. And Joshua's held up the hand of the Moses. And I just feel the Lord saying, there's a season here. He's got you in that place of training. It's like he's got you holding up the leader's hands here. Because it gets weary at times to be the guy or the lady holding everything up. And I just feel the Lord saying, keep doing that. Be diligent. Don't be. Because Joshua's go further than Moses's. Joshua's take promised land. And God has a promised land for you guys. And it really is a joint call. It's God's building a triangular relationship. It's not your relationship with God and your relationship with God. It's your relationship with God. And God just blesses you and he's delighted in you. Hallelujah. I just see God laughing over you, not at you, but over you. And it's like he wants to unveil and share. And God's got glorious things. He's got tough things for you, but they're fun things. They're wonderful things. And you guys are going to be like a hurricane at times, blowing through and just setting people free. So bless you guys. Amen. And I also had a word for her. Where's Miss Jenna? Come on, stand up, Jenna. Can I pray for you? I saw a picture of you earlier it's like you were in a hospital like a nurse and just healing broken people. Healing broken people. And I just believe the Lord is going to use you to heal broken people. I just see him sending, especially even kids, young people, people who've been abused, people who've just been hurt, who've been trampled on by life. And I just feel the Lord saying he's put such a well of his love in you. This is a season of healing, but it's a season for healing. And I just hear him say, and he wants me to say publicly, he loves you, he delights in you. You're his beloved daughter in whom he is well pleased. And you are a healer in the kingdom of God. Yeah, God's going to send you people who just feel they've been mashed up by life, and you're going to straighten them out. And when God heals a broken bone, it becomes the strongest part in our body. And I just believe the Lord's saying, just allow me to flow through you. I get a verse, and I want to say this carefully. You know the verse when Jesus asked for the donkey, and he said, the Lord has need of it. You're not a donkey, okay? But it's like God has need of you. The donkey carried in the purposes of God for that day. And I just believe your Northern Ireland won't be what it's called to be in the spirit without you doing what you're called to do. You're going to be a carrier of the King of Kings into people's lives. So bless you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, it is great to be here with you guys today. If you have a Bible, we're going to go to Luke 15. We were out on the streets yesterday in Belfast having some fun. And, okay, this is a little strange. Hang on, stop, American. Stop. What are you guys doing? Just because you're in a farm, it doesn't make you a chicken. Excuse my friends here. Right, Luke 5. I put it down to jet lag. Right, what are you guys doing now? Stop. What are you doing? Too much coffee. Just because you're in an airport doesn't make you airplanes. Luke chapter 15. Suffer. Stop. What are you Americans doing now? Just because you're in church on a Sunday morning doesn't make you a Christian. Come on, we've got to open our lives to Jesus, haven't we? Got to make this thing real. We've been having fun. We saw about 13 people come to Jesus on the streets yesterday. And we found out how to stop traffic in Belfast. All you need is Dusty and a bunch of chickens. actually, let me do a quick ad as well. We have a few little cards, things out there. Just some things about... some things I'm doing there, and we have some of these as well. Just we're trying to connect with people in Ireland. If anybody's free and you're near Banbridge tomorrow evening, it's our last night here, and we'll be having a prophetic round table. We're having a meal in the cottages where we're staying. We have a whole bunch of people coming. Just a quick teaching, and we're having a night of prophecy. You know, God loves to speak words of, God doesn't want to tell you who to marry and where to live and that, but he loves to speak words of encouragement and life. Amen? The Bible says we should all prophesy. Doesn't mean you have to grow a beard, especially the ladies. But God wants to speak through us all. The really great secret is God wants to use the church to prophesy to the world. Come on, we should be prophesying to, I call them pre-Christians. We should be going to them and not beating them over the head about their sin, but calling out the plans and the purposes of God for their lives. Amen? Wonderful. Anyway, if you're interested, grab one of those cards, and it gives the address on the little website we have. Luke 15. No chickens. What I want to do today is speak very briefly, and we're going to have some time for some ministry for anybody who wants that. But I want to speak about identity, position, permission, and boldness. So a lot of things in a short period of time, but let me just read. I want to read the parable of the lost son, and I won't read the whole thing. You guys know this really well, but just the latter part of it. Maybe from verse 25 onwards. It says, "Now the oldest son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house and heard music and dancing. When he called one of the servants and asked them what these things meant, he said to them, 'Your brother has come, because they have received him safe and sound. Your father has killed the fatted calf.' And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. And so he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, I have been this many years serving you and have never transgressed your commandment at any times. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, has come, you've killed the fatted calf for him.' And he..." That's the father, "said to the elder son, 'Son, you're always with me. All that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and glad, for your brother was dead and is alive, was lost and is found.'" Amen. Come on, no matter how great and how cool we get in our Christianity, no matter how long we've been in this thing, that we never should get away from Jesus came to seek and save those who are lost. Come on. Jesus loves sinners. Amen? Jesus loves sinners. I have a friend in Nottingham in the UK who, he years ago had a big sign over his church: "This church is for sinners only." And he got sued by the local town council for discrimination. True story. They said, "If you'll pay a fine, take down the sign, we'll let you off." And he's like, "No, take me to court, please." And in the end, they took him to court and said, "You're discriminating. You'll only accept sinners in your church." And he's like, "Guilty, Your Honor." Come on, I want to say that, if I could, humbly about the vibe, this church is for sinners only, isn't it? God's not looking for perfect people. And he wants to clean us up, and he wants to sort our lives out. He wants to teach us to live in victory, that we move in the Spirit. I think he wants to bless us. He wants to give us the relationships he's called into our lives. All of those things. But it's really important that we never end up like that elder brother. Yeah. Do you notice when the elder brother talked about his younger brother, he didn't say, "You've welcomed my brother." He said, "You've welcomed this son of yours." He called him "this son of yours," not "this brother of mine." And I just want to speak really briefly this morning about what the father said to that elder brother. He said many things in a way in a couple of verses there, but I want to pick out three of them, and then I'll draw a conclusion with the fourth. The first thing he said is "son," identity. The second thing he said is "you're always with me," like a position, a placement. And then he said, "All that I have is yours." And lastly, he said, "It was right, it was important, it was meet," the Old King James says, "that we should make merry." Come on, just three quick things from that passage anyway, and then I want to finish talking about boldness. But you need to know who you are. Do you know what God is saying to every one of you who are born again? "You're my son. You are my son. Forgive me, girls, but even the girls, you're sons." We men have to believe we're the bride of Christ. But we'll keep the bathroom segregated, thank you. You know, in Jewish culture, there were only the firstborn son had the inheritance, if you will. And of course, what were male and female, Jew and, you know, Greek, if you will, different roles on this earth. But our identity with God, this is the church of the firstborn son. And we stand, male and female, in Christ Jesus. You're sons of God. Guys, turn to your wife and girlfriend and say, hey, son. No. Come on, we're all children of God. And it's so important that we know our... Do you know Satan is an identity thief? He's trying to steal your identity. So often in the body of Christ when we pray, what we're doing is we're praying from a place of need rather than a place of identity. It's like we come to God and we say, dear Lord, I have a need. And God's interested in your needs, and through you, he wants to meet the needs of others. But the key to getting your prayers answered is not, I've got a little need or I've got a big need. The key is identity. It's who you are. If I walked into your house right now, I'd probably sit there, you know, neatly on the sofa and ask for the Wi-Fi code or whatever, but I wouldn't just head straight for your fridge and raid it or the drawer you keep your money. That would be a little weird, isn't it? Very weird. Do you know when you're a son in the house, I'm going to stay with my mother in Wales next week. I won't ask her. I will go and raid her fridge, whether she likes it or not. Guys, if we can get a revelation, come on, we're all sons of God right now. God wants us to know that identity. He wants us to know the position we have in him. Do you know the glorious thing about the gospel, and probably some of you guys are much more advanced than I am, because it took me years to get this. I came to Jesus in 1984. I was in a great church. I really honor and thank God all the great things they taught me. But so much of what we learned and what we did in those days was really dead works. It was like, come to Jesus, and he'll save you by grace through faith, but then you've got to keep a bunch of rules. And you've got to try your best through your own efforts to please God. Did anybody else go to that church? And of course, we should try our best. I'm not saying we don't, to please God. But the glorious secret of Christianity is it's not your hard works that make you a success as a Christian. You've got a position. You've got a placement in Jesus Christ. You've arrived in Jesus. The way you live a holy life isn't by trying to live a holy life. The way you live a holy life is by realizing he's already placed you in the Holy One. He's given you a position of righteousness. You are righteous. Come on, say that. I am righteous. I'm righteous. I'm not 90% righteous. I'm 100% righteous. You are righteous. You have this position in God. Proverbs 28:1 says, the righteous are as bold as a lion. And I want to encourage you guys. I was saying that to my team here the other day. We need to live on a rock, not live on a sand. Find out who you are in Jesus. Find out the place you occupy in God's affections. You know, we have this religious idea that God is schizophrenic, that at times he loves you and at times he's mad at you. Do you know he loves you all the time? He loves you because he sees you through the cross. Do you know God doesn't look at you and see you through your sin? That's not an excuse to stay in sin. The only thing we need to do with sin is repent and turn from it. But as I said, the antidote to sin is not hard effort. The antidote to sin is looking through the cross and seeing ourselves standing as new creations in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, awake to righteousness and you won't sin. Ephesians 4:23 and 24 says, put on the new man created after him in righteousness and true holiness by being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Romans 12 verse 2 says, when in Rome, do what the Romans do. No, it doesn't. It says, don't be conformed, be transformed. And it tells us how to do that by the renewing of our mind. And it's so vital. Again, I spent years as a failure as a Christian because nobody really clearly taught me this. And I'd pray and I'd fast and I'd beg God to do all kinds of things. And when I began to learn the way you get your Christian life to work is by taking what God said in his word and literally putting it on like a coat. Putting on that identity and saying, I don't have to try to become this. God's already made me this. What I need to do is learn to live in this new kingdom. About 5 years ago, I went to live in America. Pray for me. And I'm learning to speak English. They call it English. Y'all. Everybody say y'all. gas, tomato. I'm learning to drive on the wrong side of the road. No, on the wrong side of the road. I'm learning to drink Dunkin' Donuts instead of a cup of tea. Come on, you get on a plane and instantly you're in a new kingdom. The problem is our old ways, our old thought patterns, our old habits, the culture in which we've grown up still affects us. Colossians 1:13 says, God literally transported you. Dr. Spock, he raptured you, literally. He translated you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. You've arrived. You're in the kingdom of God right now. You're kings and priests to God. But our task, our mission, the thing we've got to learn to do is put on that new man, is learn to think new thoughts. And we've got to find ways in church. Sometimes Sunday morning, it's not enough. Join a small group, be in somebody's home, get with a bunch of people who are not trying to be religious, but open this book and argue. And what does that mean? What does one of those look like in 2017? How do you actually do that? Where we can help and speak into each other's lives. Where at times when we see somebody, you know, instead of going to somebody and say, I see sin in your life, we should be calling them up instead of calling them out. When you see somebody in sin, you're seeing somebody who's forgotten who they are. Our message shouldn't be, God's mad at you. Our message should be, dude, did you forget who you were? You had a brain freeze or something? That's not who you are. You're a new creation. You're loved by the Father. Peter wrote at the end of his life, and Peter said, grace and peace will be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God. It's in your lap. And then in the next verse, he said, whereby God's given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these we become partakers of God's divine nature, and we'd escape the corruption that's out there in the world through lust, through wrong desires. By these great and precious promises, we become partakers of God's nature. How cool is that? Hallelujah. You know, God made Adam in his image, didn't he? Yeah. We've been recreated in the image of Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. You know, all throughout history, people have tried to imagine what God looks like. I've been to India a ton of times. They have 33 million gods there, the Hindus anyway. I like to say, the reason you have so many is you haven't found the right one yet. I once went to an idol factory in India. I was walking past this little workman's building idols. Really interesting. So I went in. All these little, they're all like horror, nasty looking gods, you know. And I started teasing the guy there. I said, do you have an idol that heals the sick? He looked at me really strangely. He said, no. I said, do you have one that answers prayers? He said, we're out at the moment. I said, do you have one? I said, at the time, my little daughter was about 2 or 3. I said, could I take one of these home? And he'd put his arms around my little daughter, give a hug, and tell her he loves her. No. And then I asked him the really big one. I said, do any of these wonderful statues forgive sins? Because you see, outside of Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I need somebody to forgive my sins. And he's, no. So I bought him a cup of tea, and I told him about the true God. Come on, the God who forgives sins, the God who loves you. Here's the thing. Adam was created in the image of God. We've been recreated in the image of Christ. So Jesus comes and he says to the world, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you want to know what the Father looks like, look at Jesus. If you want to know what God's will is about healing, don't look at Job, Jeremiah, James, or Joni. Look at Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Don't look at Graham, don't look at Daryl, this church. We're all failing in a way slightly as we, like Paul, we haven't yet attained. But Jesus is the standard. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. When the world sees Jesus, the world sees the Father. Our job is to represent Jesus to our generation. Our job is to be conformed into his image. And that happens by us letting these promises abide in us. And it happens through worship as well. Because we all, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed and transformed into that same glory. Come on, guys. Do you know what your mission is in Northern Ireland, really? It's to wander around Northern Ireland showing people Jesus. Jesus wandered around Galilee saying, look at me, and you've seen the Father. Our mission is to go around saying, when you look at us, you've seen Jesus. How's it going for you? We fail. We get it wrong at times, don't we? Sometimes somebody looks at me. I'm just tired and haven't slept. I plead jet lag. Come on, it's so great. We were wandering around Belfast yesterday just trying to show people. If you're sick, Jesus is the healer. If you're in need, and I know some of our ladies, we were in Warren Point the other day, so I'm not trying to embarrass them, but great story. They were talking to somebody about the Lord, and I think this person didn't want to know. They were in a store, in a shop, and they wandered away, and as they were wandering away, they felt the Lord say, just go back and pay for the groceries. And I think they went back and just pulled out whatever money they had and said, we'd like to pay for your groceries. And, what? You know, you're tourists. Why would you pay for my groceries? And I think as they gave them the money, the till rang up, and it was to the exact penny the amount the groceries cost. And it's like God said, come on, I love you. I love you. Come on, we have a position in Christ. Can I say that you're secure in that position? You don't work it for it. Paul didn't say work at your salvation. He didn't say work for your salvation. He said work out your salvation. You have muscles in your body. When you go to the gym, you work out. You don't make them. You've already got them. God has put all of these glorious things in us. What we need to do is work them out. They're in you. God's righteousness is in you. God's goodness is in you. God's power is in you. God's joy is in you. What we've got to do is let it come out. Amen. Come on, moving. I'm doing so well here. Moving along quickly. The Father said, Son, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. Do you know there are promises in the Bible which I find completely crazy? And so do you. Father literally says, everything I have, you're bothered because my son took $100,000 and blew it in Las Vegas or something. You can have everything. Do you know God is literally saying that to the church? Everything I have is yours. He who gave us Christ, will he not with him freely give us all things? Have you ever read some of those crazy statements Jesus made where he says, anything you ask in my name, I will do? How much of the church actually believes that? I don't think there's 1% of the church that takes that seriously. We read that, we go, hallelujah, we put it on the fridge door, and then we act as if it's not true. Come on, guys, track with me, but answered prayer is such an incredible tool to win the lost. God loves to answer prayer. We need a life where constantly God's answering prayer. Answered, we should have a constant source of joy. Jesus said, ask and receive that your joy might be full. Answered prayer is a source of breakthrough. What we've often done in the church is because we haven't seen answered prayer, we haven't got the joy of answered prayer, we find joy in other things. We find joy in the form of prayer. We find joy in the expression rather than the breakthrough. It's the genesis of religion, form without power. Form of godliness, denying the power thereof. And this blows my mind, and it'll blow your mind, I know, but God's literally saying, ask, 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 ask. Hallelujah. I grew up, like I said, in a great church, Pentecostal church in England. Awesome people. They really love God. They believed in healing, but nobody ever got healed. We had a real, it was like a hearse style in the church. People got so much prayer, they began to go bald. Every week. When I was young, I did something really, really stupid. I was 17. I knew I had a call to ministry. So one day I went to see my pastor, lovely old guy in his 80s. And I wanted to know about healing. I wanted to ask him some wisdom. And I asked a question, but it came out wrong. I said, Pastor, why is it nobody ever gets healed when you pray for them? Went down like a lead balloon. This guy got really angry with me. He said, shout, how dare you question my authority? And I'm sure he saw tears in my eyes. Pastor, I didn't mean that. And suddenly he caught my heart that I was actually asking a real question. And he sat down in his office next to me and he started crying. Lovely man, about 80, 82 at the time. And he said, Graham, I don't know. But he said, somewhere along the, he asked me, he said, how old are you? I said, 17. He said, I was preaching when I was your age and younger. And he said, somewhere along the journey, I stopped asking, I stopped seeking, and I stopped knocking. And he said, somewhere along the journey, I just became okay with the fact it hardly ever really happened. And he said, somewhere along the journey, it's like I started inventing, you know, the usual suspects. Well, it's not God's timing, but it never seemed to be his timing. Or well, maybe God's teaching. There's bits of truth in those, but Jesus is the Jesus you see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And this lovely old man, he said, Graham, I don't have an answer to you, but he said, I feel the Lord saying to you, the answer is, he who asks receives, he who knocks, the door's open. Ask, seek, knock, keep on asking. He said, never need an answer so badly that you start repeating a lie. Come on, let me say that to you guys. Never need an answer so badly that you begin to believe a lie. Maybe you've tried going out winning souls. I used to do that and not have success and think, well, it's just too hard. It's just too difficult. Come on, God can break that barrenness in Jesus' name. God can break that in Jesus' name. Come on, he says, ask. I know I've been around some people who really get into faith, and at times some people take that teaching on faith and it only seems to be about money and getting a new car and getting healed. And God wants to bless you, but I think we should use our faith for souls. He said, ask me and I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance. Hallelujah. Let me challenge you. Don't respond. I don't need to know. But ask yourself, how many souls have you asked for this week? I was reading about Wigglesworth the other day, yesterday actually, in Belfast, and you know, he'd get up and he'd say, like, God, I won't go to bed until I've won somebody to Jesus. Now, I don't mean we need to copy that or we get legalistic, but I tell you, God loves when you ask. God loves when you seek. God loves when you knock. Yeah. Let me just push into there a little bit. Can we ask for anything? But surely there are some things we know that, I mean, you know, if you ask God for 200 jet planes, you're probably not going to get them. I mean, where is the line between what I can ask for and what I can't ask for? Where's the line? James put it this way. He says, you have not because you ask not. But sometimes when you ask amiss that you may spend it on your lusts, on your wrongful desires. Where's the line between what we can ask God for and what we can't ask God for? God gives us permission, but how much permission does he give us? For years, I used to try and find the answer, and I think I've found the answer. I think I know where the line is. The line, let me challenge you, the line's not in your Bible. The line's in relationship with God. The line's in fellowship with him. When Jesus is saying, whatever you ask in my name, what he's really saying is, when you're walking with me, when you're in close fellowship with me, when those requests are coming out of your prayer life, out of the secret place, the line is in the secret place. And there are people here, if they ask God for things, God, it would be too much. And there are other people in the same room today, if you ask God for things, God would say, sure, why don't you ask me for more? And the thing is not that he loves one, love you not. The thing is some people are walking closer with him than others. You will do things for your close friends that you wouldn't do for somebody on the street. The issue is how close can we get with Jesus? Come on, let me show you that from the Bible. Do you remember when the Lord comes to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? And on his way, he says to these two angels with him, before we do that, I have my friend, Abraham, my friend. And what would it mean if I invited my friend into the discussion? And they sit down at the table of fellowship and eat a hamburger. It's in the Bible. Well, Abraham said, Sarah, go kill a cow and bake some bread. In America, they call that a hamburger. It's Bible. They're sitting down, the Lord, two angels, and Abraham eating burgers. Do I get a witness? And Abraham wants to ask God for something, but he's not sure how much can you ask God for? This is the creator of heaven and earth. He can turn me into a pile of ashes. And you can see Abraham, Lord, another burger, a bit of ketchup. And then he kind of throws out this request. And you can see Abraham like, I've written my will. I'm ready to die. Would you hold back judgment if there were 50 righteous people? And Abraham's like, it's all over. And the Lord says, great burger. Sure, 50 people. And Abraham starts thinking, man, should have asked for 40. And Abraham ups the ante. He says, what about 40? And the Lord says, okay. You read it, Genesis 18. Abraham says, what about 35? And Abraham says, Lord, I know I am but dust. Who am I to argue with the creator of heaven at 20? He keeps pushing the limit. You see, because he's in fellowship. He's not reading a book about what somebody else did or praying some clever prayer that somebody else wrote. He's actually in relationship saying, Lord, how far can we go with this? And I actually think Abraham could have gone past 10. Guys, can I say this to you? I won't be long today, but God has dreams for Northern Ireland, and they're not in heaven, they're in your hearts. There was probably a time where this place was a dream in Daryl and Nikki's heart, in some other hearts here. And right now it's real, it's tangible, it's changing lives, it's serving great coffee, it's ministering to people. But it all starts, I have this thing about coffee, you see. The Bible says faith without coffee is dead. And come on, it's real. Let me ask you, Satan's is a thief of your identity. He wants you climbing to get into the right position based on the false ladder of your good works. And he wants to steal that dream. He wants to steal the permissions you have in heaven. The Father's saying, dream big dreams. Come on, guys. Dream some crazy dreams. There's a guy who once came to Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great would have one day every year where he would grant requests. The U.S. president, when he checks out, will pardon people, you know, and people donate money to his retirement fund to be pardoned. Alexander the Great would grant requests once a year, and all these people would come before him, you know, would you let my son out of prison? Yes. And could you pay off my mortgage? You know, yes. And the wheel fell off my chariot, give him a new one. Once this guy came before Alexander and said, would you give me, it was something like 20% of your whole kingdom. It would be like somebody coming and asking for the whole of Northern Ireland. And all of the courtiers in Alexander's court were like, dude's dead. He's toast. He's finished. Alexander's going to chop his head. How dare you ask? You know, people are asking for £100, £500. This guy asked for, you know, 500 billion or something crazy. And then Alexander smiled and said, give him 20% of my kingdom. And Alexander said, I was honored by the largeness, largesse, we'd say in French. I was honored by the bigness of his request. Hallelujah. Do you know, guys, I think the Father's saying to some people here, is that your dreams are too small? I think he's saying, come on. Do you know what some of you, Daryl said it earlier, go to South Africa. You say, Graham, I haven't got the money. That's part of the adventure. That's part of the journey. All these guys aren't here because they're super duper rich. Most of them just stuck that out in faith and started with £50 or something. Said, okay, God, I'm going to step out here. And God makes a way. God makes a way. And part of the adventure is even starting out before you ever arrived. I'm sure somebody didn't come to Daryl Nicky and said, here's a blank check. Just go and build a check. Everything's paid for, whatever. You just start with what you've got. You start with that dream, you start with something, and God keeps adding, God keeps adding, God keeps adding. Come on, I'm nearly done here, folks, but hallelujah. God loves to say yes. I have a crazy wife. I'm going to bring her here someday. Her name's Leah. She's in France right now, asleep. The wonders of time travel. When I first met my wife, we were having lunch together. I'd known her about a month. And she said to me, you know, we were just beginning to date, whatever, and she said, God, I've never prayed a single prayer that God didn't answer. And I said, that's amazing. And I thought, wow. Later that afternoon, when, you know, we parted ways, she's driving to her parents' home, she called me on her cell phone, and she said, I feel I need to repent and apologize. She said, I just remembered a prayer I prayed that God didn't answer. And I said, you know, one prayer, big deal. Thousands. I said, what was it? She said, when I was a little girl, about 8 or 9, I asked Jesus for a pink bicycle. And she said, it just came back to me driving. I was thinking about our conversation. I never got my pink bike. So I started being all, well, of course, the mighty wisdom of God. God knew that if you would have had a bike, you would have grazed your knee or hit a truck. God. You know, I came up with that wonderful quote, God always answers prayer, but sometimes he says no. She said, where is that in the Book of Mormon? That's not in the Bible. We had our first argument. We've had a few since. I believe in submission. Yes, dear. And I think in the end, she hung up on me. 10 minutes later, she called me back sobbing. I was like, great. The Lord's turned her heart, you know. She's repent. She called me up sobbing. And after a while, I began to get a little, are you okay? Did you have a car wreck or something? And she said, no. Here's the story. I got home. When I hung up here, got home. And outside my mom and dad's house was a box with my name on it. I opened the box. And in the box is a brand new pink bicycle. Now, my wife's tall. She's like 6'2". This is a little kid's bicycle. She wasn't sobbing because, great, tomorrow I'll leave. Because that's what your father's like. Come on, do you know that's what Father God's like? Am I saying be greedy? Yes, for the right things. But I'm saying actually your father loves you. He doesn't say you can be lazy, you don't work, you don't think. But he wants to be intricately involved in your life. And he wants through you to show his goodness to other people. And I tell you, this nation, you guys are so blessed because there's so much religion in this nation. You may think it's a tough thing. I think it's a great thing because there's so many poor examples, well-meaning, but at times poor examples of the kingdom of God, that if we'll be extravagant in the goodness of God, in the love of God, we can see lives changed all the time. God is more willing to answer prayers than we are to pray them. Hallelujah. Come on, let me shift into my last thing and we'll close with this. But I believe God wants the body of Christ. I think he wants just a breath of boldness to come into the body of Christ. When you know that you have money in the bank, it makes you bold. What I'm saying is you're not like, oh my God, can I afford this? If you've got it covered, you've got it covered. God wants there to be a boldness in us. Do you remember when Peter saw Jesus walking on water? The Bible says Jesus would have walked on by the boat. Is Jesus God? Come on. We should know that one. Is Jesus God? Jesus was walking, so he was moving. So you could say it was a move of God. It's a theological term, I know. So God is moving, and he's walking near the boat, but he's actually walking by. Come on, hear me, guys. It's possible to miss a move of God if we're not bold. It's possible that God will move near you, but he won't move in your boat until you get out of the boat. And all of the disciples are looking at Jesus going, wow, he's the Son of God. He's walking on water. And something rises up in Peter's heart that Peter says, if you can walk on water, can I walk on water too? And Jesus said to Peter, who do you think you are, you miserable worm? No, he didn't. Jesus said, Peter, if you could get it wrong, Peter would get it wrong, wouldn't he? Do you know, I think Jesus loves that thing that says, Lord, if you did it in the Bible, the works that I do, will you do also, and greater works than these will you do because I go to my Father, John 14:12. When you say, Jesus, could I heal the sick? Could I see somebody's life change? Could that person who's been bound by drugs for years and miserable, could you use me to set them free? He's not like, who do you think you are? He's saying, you know who you are, son. You're that place in my heart. All that I have is yours. Go at it. Go change the world. Here's all of the resources I created. Go and do something glorious with it. And Peter steps out of that boat. You know, I know Peter missed it, but Peter walked on water. And Peter got Jesus. He got the move of God into his life, the move of God into his boat. I've got to close now. But I believe the Lord's saying God's looking for a bold people here. I'm a shy person, I'm a quiet person, I'm an introvert, that's my personality, and I'm happy being me, but I want to be a free me, and I want to be a bold, quiet, shy, introverted person. So I'm okay preaching to a ton of people in Belfast on the streets doing whatever, and then I'll go back and I'll be the quiet little, be who you are, you don't need to be anybody else, but be free. And I believe the Lord's saying, be bold, come on, be strong. Dream some crazy dreams. Live in between the yes and the amen of God. Live a promise-driven life. Hallelujah. And we'll close with this today. But do you remember Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will your Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And I know many of you here are on fire, full of Holy Spirit. You know, we're here today. We're not thinking we've got anything you have. We just think we need each other. We'd love you guys to pray for us. But we'd love to pray, especially today, for somebody. Maybe your Holy Spirit in your life is a concept, not a reality. Again, maybe you're like me. I grew up in a church, great church, and there's so much truth in this. But they taught the way you know you've got Holy Spirit is you can say a few words in tongues. Shakalaka, she came in a Honda. If you can say banana backwards, you got it, buddy. And I love speaking in tongues. We drove over here today. I said to my team, and right, nobody taught. We prayed in tongues all the way over. We didn't need the van by the time we got into Armagh. Great, I love it. But, guys, how many of you have been baptized in water? If you haven't, get it. But there's more to being baptized in water than getting wet. And there's more to being baptized in the Spirit than just speaking in tongues. God wants you to have that gift, amen. But he wants you to be a burning bush. He wants you to be full of fire, full of life. He wants you to walk with a rain cloud over you everywhere you go. He wants you to live refreshed so you can refresh. And I know there was a time in my life I used to walk around. I love speaking in tongues. That was my proof. I'm full of the Holy Spirit. And yet I was dry as an old tin can, if I'm honest. Yeah. If I took a glass of water here today, put some water in it, and left it here for 2 years and came back, I would not celebrate its 2-year anniversary. It would be yucky and putrid, bacteria in it. So many of us, we've lost the freshness of our experience because we're not pouring out. And today, if anybody's here thinking, you know, Graham, I just feel dry and empty, I think Holy Spirit would love to empower you, refresh you, just fill you with fire today. Yeah, we need a generation of fire to set this nation on fire. Amen. Let me draw this to a close, but as we do that, before we do that, I want to ask if anybody here has never met Jesus. You know, God will look us all in the eye one day, and he won't say, you're Protestant. He won't say, you're Catholic. He won't say, are you a good person? He won't say, you're a bad person. He'll say, what did you do with my son? And I know, again, there's many people who've even prayed the right prayer, said the words, but maybe have never had an encounter with Jesus. There's a time in our life he wants to knock you off your horse, literally. Sorry, Gail, if you're listening. We have a horse lover. He literally wants to transform you. He doesn't want to give you a faith in him. He wants to meet you and give you that relationship. And I know most of us have done that here today, but if anybody here has never encountered Jesus for yourself, if you couldn't look me in the eye and say, Graham, I know that he's taken the sin out of my life, that I'm that new person. I believe you can do that right now. You don't have to join this church. This is a great church, and there are other good churches in this area, but if you never set foot in those doors again, that's not our goal here. The goal isn't to make you a vibeite. The goal is that you meet Jesus. Him to know is life eternal. Amen. And you don't, I like to say Jesus didn't come to make bad people into good people. He came to make dead people into alive people. And I just want to pray in closing. Could we maybe, again, without being religious, close our eyes for a moment. Holy Spirit, thanks again you're here. We just really love you. And I pray that you'd walk around these aisles today and just touch people and stir up people's hearts because you love them. Lord, I pray that you'll come and you just knock on the door of their hearts today. And just show them your love. Show them that they can't make it on their own. They'll never make the grade. They'll never be good enough. That all of our backgrounds, thank you for the different ways in which we grew up, the schools we went to, the churches that helped us, the different places, but we need a Savior. And I just pray right now that you will knock on the door of their hearts. So just while our eyes are closed, I felt the Lord saying there's at least a couple of people here. It's like you've had religion, but you've never had that encounter with Jesus. And if that's you right now, I'm not trying to go through like a sales pitch and act. I want you to meet Jesus right now. I think there's at least a couple of people you need to step out of religion, out of knowledge about God, and meet him for yourself right now. just as nobody's looking around, if that's you, if you want to say, Graham, I want to meet Jesus for myself. I want to know my sin gone. I want to know what it means to be a brand new person. If that's you, I want to ask you to raise your hand up right now while nobody's looking around. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, bless you. Anybody else today? Say, yeah, I've known about God, but I want to know him. Just raise your hand if that's you. I believe there's another person here who needs to do that. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says he knocks on the door of our heart, but he won't break the door down. He won't force it. It's your choice. Yes, one last time before we pray. If that's you, just raise your hand right now because he loves you. Oh, how he loves you. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, that's awesome. Let's just, I just wonder, you know, we would fly over the Atlantic for one person. I mean that. Can we just pray together? Maybe we can help my friend out. Just pray out loud after me if you will. I pray this prayer from your heart, but pray it also from your voice to God. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to know you. And I want you to be real to me. And I ask you to invade my life right now. Let heaven invade my life. Take my sin away. Put your life in me, Jesus. I want to be your son, not a servant, a son. Fill me with your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now guys, I promise you, God heard, God answered. The Bible said the angels dance like Dusty. It's the revised Graham version. When one sinner repents. Hallelujah. Come on, we're nearly done here. Let's just thank you, Lord. Let's just worship him for a moment, if you will. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. It's your glory, God. It's what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Yes, Holy Spirit, come flood this place, fill the atmosphere. It's your glory, God, is what our hearts to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Lord, we just bless you. Thank you for the vibe. Again, thank you for Daryl, for Nikki, for the team, for everyone, for those you've called. Thank you, Lord, for those who are outside of these walls, but they're called to be here. Lord, I proclaim that all that the Father has given us is coming to us. Thank you, Lord. We do our part. We throw out that net. But the Lord, you gather the harvest. Lord, I just proclaim a gathering in this place. Increase and increase and increase. Two services, just new people, new place, leaders. I proclaim fast maturation. People coming quickly into that place where they're disciple themselves, but they're making disciples. Let this place be a hub that invades. Let your glory fall and go forth to the nations. Thank you, Lord, for the team going to South Africa. Lord, I proclaim the team coming to America from the vibe, Lord. We need some of this, Lord. Thank you for cross-pollination in the spirit, Lord. And Lord, I just speak your blessing, your favor, your love on every life here. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, guys, I know we're going to have lunch down together soon. We're looking forward to hanging out with some of you. Love to hear about your journey, your story with Jesus. You know, before we do that, if you're here and you need to run, we want to respect your time, your families, your day off. Feel free to leave if you need to. We've unlocked the doors, and you can get out now. And what we'd love to do as a team here, if anybody would like that, it'd be our privilege to pray for you. We believe God wants to heal people. If you're here today and you just, come on, there's no shame. We've got to kill the shame thing. And religion brings shame. Jesus brings freedom. And if you're here thinking, I'm honestly feeling a bit dry, there's no shame in saying, you know, just pray for me. I do it all the time. I get people in my church, I'm leading, guys, pray for me. Just, we need one another. And if you're here feeling, maybe you don't have that gift of tongues, you can pick up one before you leave, okay? Maybe you need a word of life and encouragement, a word of prophecy. We'd love to do that. A fresh touch of Holy Spirit. I believe there are people here, and I want you to hear my heart, no condemnation. I think there are people here. I felt the Lord saying there's at least one person here. You're bound by cigarettes. God's not mad at you. He loves you. No shame in that. I've been there, done it. You might get to heaven a little quicker if you carry on, but that's... I just believe, God, if you're here bound by anything, again, no condemnation, no unclean people, unclean people, but God would love to set you free today. And if you're bound by anything, legal drugs, illegal drugs, by alcohol, again, no shame. This is family. God wants you free, that's all. There's no shame in that. It's wonderful to bring it out into the light. Just, you know, confess it. Come and see me if you want. We're not going to broadcast that. And one prayer can get you free, can start you on that journey to freedom. So can I get you American chickens? And again, we're going to wander around and just ask you on some prayer. We're not going to force that on anybody. God doesn't push blessing on anybody. So if that's okay, we're just going to wander around. If you want some prayer, say yes. You don't, but we will leave you as you are. Amen. Hallelujah. So be released if you need to run. It's great to meet you. Can I say that again? Just as a pastor, be in church every week. I tell my guys, be there, you know, 4 weeks out of five. Take the odd week. I'll go to the beach. It's great to do that with your family. But plug in. Plug in. Get a Bible. Don't be that kind of wandering in and out. We all need a tribe, don't we? We need a tribe. We need people. We need to lock on. We need to be in God's house, be in His presence, be in His word, grow, serve, clean a toilet, teach a class. Just come and give. Bring something to the feast. That's how we grow. Satan wants to cut off body parts, and no matter how alive you are, you begin to die when you're separated from the body. If you're newer here in this place, you're a visitor here today, I encourage you, talk to some of the leaders. Find out about how you can plug in here, because this is a great, great church. Thanks, Daryl, for the joy of being here. Team, let's just bless some people here.